chance for Sean Mackey to strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
Better. A lot better. I'm feeling okay now after last Saturday and the second half against Rangers. That performance, we didn't get the result, but that performance yesterday at Celtic Park made me feel warm inside, so I'm very happy. Hello, welcome to Falkirk Daft. I'm John McInally. No Ross this week, but I have got our guest pundit, moved him up forward, bumped him up to the main event. It's Fraser Boy. Hi, Fraser.
John, you alright?
I'm alright. You've went from the undercard up to the main event. Now, obviously, as a wrestling, fellow wrestling fan, Fraser, we can talk wrestling.
Yeah, I'll understand your references.
Somebody no references will be lost on you, sir. No references will be lost on you. You've got the Money in the Bank briefcase. You've cashed it in. And now you find yourself as co-presenter for This Week Only. There you go. Well done. So Fraser's with it to talk about the Celtic game. Fraser, you went through to Glasgow yesterday. Couple of pints pre, couple of pints post.
Yeah, absolutely. We ended up, the three of us at first that we ended up going through to, because I heard you in the preview talking to your, the producer Ryan, and you'd recommended a couple of places. So we ended up, we weren't sure where to go, so we ended up at this end of the bowl. I heard the arc's quite good.
Yeah.
You did recommend the arc, so I went there. It was grand. I had sports on the telly, pints on tap, sort of.
What a day. And you were Sans' child yesterday as well, so
yes.
your youngest Finlay he wasn't about, so you were able to enjoy the day.
Yeah, I got to drink alcohol before a match. I didn't have to take drugs. No responsibilities for a couple of hours.
Did you walk down to the ground, or did you grab a train or a taxi?
Got a taxi.
Oh, nice. Nice. Oh, well, good day had. And then after the game, you said you were Beer Hala, Auctioneers.
Yeah, Auctioneers and Beer Hala for a couple, then checking home.
Oh, what a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. I didn't make it through to Glasgow yesterday. I watched it on the telly. I got kicked out of my own house, Fraser, I'll be honest with you. My son, Finlay, had four of his mates round to watch the game. It's like, Dad, I was like, well, where am I watching it? He said, well, you're not watching it with me. So I got effectively kicked out of my house to go and watch the game. So my mate has a pub in his back garden, the infamous Squat and Gobble. So I went down to the Squat and Gobble, watched the game there with him, Greg, and my mate Benny. And then started at 5 o'clock, didn't walk out of the Squat and Gobble till 3 a.m. So yes, it was, I don't know if any other people do this, but I get drunk and watch YouTube concerts. I think it's like a dad thing. So basically watched the full, after the game we're flicking through, because Greg didn't realise that he could get YouTube on his telly, and now he's went down this wormhole of just discovering things. So we end up putting on Bruce Springsteen live at Hyde Park and watched the full kick, 3 hours of Bruce Springsteen while drinking whiskey sours and beer.
He's off singing along, a few drinks, he can sing along by that point.
Yeah, I got to love the boss, mate. Got to love the boss. So that was, I'm feeling a little bit rough and ready today. But we'll talk about the game just in a bit. But first of all, got to say thanks to this week's episode sponsor. Carpetways are back on with us. They've been established in Falkirk for 25 years. It was the first Carpetways in the UK, was in Falkirk, set up by Phil Kelly all that time ago. Family run business, and they're doing a great deal. Fraser, do you need carpets?
We did need carpets shortly ago in this very room, but the hall is looking a bit.
It's a real shame that you sorted out carpets for that room, because you could have got your full house done for £799 if you'd went to Carpetways. So it's carpetways.com/Falkirk. Pop in, they're opposite the old Costa Del, the Martel, on Burnbank Road. Fraser, you've had many a good night out in the Martel.
Indeed, not as many as you, I don't think, but I certainly had a fair few.
Yes, do you know what? Someone, it's now the Rosebank Rooms, it's like a function thing. And someone sent me pictures of it last night. I was like, oh my God, it looks nothing like it used to at all. The Martell's completely been changed. You wouldn't recognise it if I showed you the pictures. But anyway, Getty Carpetways is opposite the old Martell on Burnbank Road. Get that deal, £7.99 for the full house, or head to carpetways.com/Falkirk. And of course, if you, it's coming up, it's lovely weather at the moment. It's going to be a nice week this week. And if you can't be arsed mowing your lawn, get some artificial grass. They do that too. 20 mils up to 40 mils. And it means you don't have to mow the grass, which is always a bane of your life. If you've got grass yourself, Fraser, do you have to do that?
Yeah, I want to be for my wife does it more than I do. I'm
Oh,
a
for
bit
goodness sake.
internationally. I know. Zero man points here.
That's 0 on. But yeah, get your artificial grass from Carpetways as well, and it goes from £9.99 per square meter. There you go. So get involved with that. Listen, I've got to address a subject which we've kind of left and we've come back to now about Amarillo and its origins of as a Falkirk song. Now, a couple of theories here that have come in. Thank you very much, first of all, to Malcolm. He says, it's in the back of my mind that it started back in the Brockville days at the end of the season. They held the end of the season awards night. Remember when they used to put the big marquee on the pitch? So apparently Miles Hogarth sang Amarillo on karaoke, which went down well, and that's when the song was adopted. So Miles Hogarth, we'll need to investigate this with Nicky Hogarth or speak to Miles and find out if he was the originator. There's another theory here that comes from Alistair. He says, hi, John and Ross, just getting in touch over Amarillo, which has been on my mind. It was the discussion about where did it come from. He says, way back in the 80s, I went to away games on the Elliot's bus, and the late great Scott, aka Tish Corbett, was a bit of a crooner and loved to sing Amarillo on the bus. I think it was an Elliot's bus thing back in the day, which has since been adopted by the Bairns support. And for all we know, it was the big man who started it all off. So Scott Corbett may be the originator. So potentially, what I'm thinking has maybe happened here is that Scott Corbett started it, Miles has heard it, and then done it on the karaoke at the end of season awards night on the pitch at Brockville, and then it's all kind of sparked from there.
And then was it? What was the other thing? Is
Davey
David
Moss was
Ross?
mad. Davey Moss, when he used to play music, specific music for the goal scorer, that Davey Moss had Amarillo, and then it was taken on from there. So lots of the. Do you know what? Michael White, a club historian, who obviously, deep in investigation whether the club was set up in 1876 or 1877. Forget all that, Michael. This is the story that we all want to know. Where did Amarillo come from? Get on the case.
Get DCI White on the case.
Yeah, absolutely. So there you go. Any more theories on Amarillo, slide into our DMs, leave a comment below, let us know where Amarillo originated as a Falkirk song. We'd love to know. Get to the bottom of it. Let's get Colombo on the case. Right, quick dip into birthday corner, and it's a happy birthday to Doogie, who's 50. Oh my God, you don't look a day over 60, Doogie. He's 50 on the 3rd of May. That's from your son Dylan. So there you go, Doogie. Happy birthday. We'll see you at Falkirk Daft Live. Doogie is our doorman at Falkirk Daft Live normally. Doogie normally gives us the signal whether for the guests. We usually look to Doogie saying, are the guests in the wing? Yep, brilliant. And then we welcome on stage. By the way, almost confirmed our two guests for the next Falkirk Daft Live. Obviously, we do know that John McGuinnett and Paul Smith will be there in attendance. However, I might have the other two booked in. I need to make one more phone call. One is confirmed. The other, I had a missed call from on Friday night. I dropped him a text. I had a missed call from someone to call him back on Monday. I'm hoping it comes off. But that's a little tease. I should be able to reveal next week who will be attending the next Falkirk Daft Live, which is May the 15th at Behind the Wall, who are also sponsors of this very show. Anyway, birthday corner. Happy birthday, Doogie. As another happy birthday to Ella Robb. She's 17 on the 29th of April. Oh my God, that means you'll be driving, Ella. And hopefully this will cheer her up, as it's the third time she's been to Hampden and yet to see us win after last week. Poor Ella. It'll happen someday, honestly. But now you're going to be able to drive your mum and dad about, so they're delighted with that. So that's from Dad, Mum, and Cara. So happy birthday, Ella, and you're going to be your mum and dad's taxi service from now on. You do realise that when you pass your test. I can't wait for that, by the way. Finlay, my boy's 17 next year, and as soon as he passes that test, I'll be like, that, this way, that way, getting cashing in the old receipts. From being a taxi dad. So, yep, next year. Let's get that done. Couple of players' birthday. One of your favourites, actually, Fraser. I know you're a big fan of Stevie Tosh. He's celebrating his birthday on Monday, the 27th. Guess age of Stevie Tosh?
45.
53. 53.
What?
53,
oh my
Stevie
God.
Tosh. Yep.
God,
current player, Reece Walker. Where is Reece Walker on loan, Fraser?
Oh, you really put me in the spot. Just because there's no fucking diversity, you're getting the questions in somewhere.
Yeah.
It was Cowdenbeath last
still
season.
Still at Cowdenbeath.
Is it still Cowdenbeath? Okay.
Still at Cowdenbeath. Scored 5 goals this season. So there you go. He's still on the books at Falkirk, Reece Walker, isn't he? It'll be interesting to see what happens. Honeyman as well, obviously, he left the club. He's tearing it up at Dumbarton. Seems to be having a really, really good season there. So Reece Walker turns 20 on the 29th. Ryan McGeever. The lesser known Ryan McGeever, he didn't do much for Falkirk. He was there during the dark times, wasn't he?
Yeah, centre defender. He signed with Promise, did he sign? Did we sign him from Queen's Park or ended up at Queen's Park or something?
Yeah.
He signed the Promise, but I don't know if he got too many opportunities in the first in the first team.
32 on the 30th. And Jordy, swing on the bar. Jordy Watson, 70 on the 1st of May. Wow. Jordy, a regular actually in the 1876 lounge at the stadium. Lovely, lovely man. Still huge. Massive hands. Absolutely massive hands. Like one of these people that you shake hands with and their hand just envelops your own. Jordy Watson, 70. I can't believe that on the 1st of May. There you go. Right. Okay. Club news. Let's get to that. The Heritage Night is this Friday as well. It's the same day as Jordy Watson's birthday. Darren Dodds, Paul Watson, and Peter Grant will all be there. And the best thing is, there's a pie buffet, Fraser. Tickets are £15 on sale now. That's interesting. Darren Dodds, obviously, you know, I think Darren Dodds was captain, Paul Watson's captain, and Peter Grant was Peter Grant captain at one point.
I remember Peter Grant being captain, but obviously he scored that goal.
He scored that goal.
That's an impressive back three there.
Yeah, not bad back three. So they're going to be in the Brockville Bar this Friday, the 1st of May. Get your tickets from the club, £15. And that pie buffet, I want to see what's on the pie buffet. I'm intrigued. I'm guessing there'll be the standards. Your scotch, your steak, your macaroni.
It's like a question with no wrong answer.
I know. Do you know what I had this week, actually? I had a Stovey pie. Interesting.
Stovey pie, did that work?
Pie sports I had that. It was interesting, and I also had a brisket, a Canadian maple brisket beef pie this week as well. I've been on a journey of pies this week. There was excess pies left in work this week, and I was like, oh, I'll try that. There was a chili dog pie as well I didn't try, but I'll be back. If there's any more left in the office from this weekend, I'll be back with a review of the chili dog pie. But I would highly recommend from Pie Sports, if you get the chance, the brisket pie was very good. Stovies. I'd give it a 5 out of 10. Anyway, so that's the pie buffet. We'll see what's happening. Please give us your review of the pie buffet. If you are attending the Heritage Night, we'd like to know what pies were on offer. Thank you very much. And obviously, let us know what Darren and Paul and Peter said as well. That'd be great. Academy fundraiser is happening on the 30th of May still. That was the date it got moved. So it's still on sale now, and that's the 30th of May. And Simon Stainrod, God himself, will be in the room on that tonight. And I think Dick Campbell's doing it as well. So it should be a cracker. If you've got tickets, are still on sale for that on the 30th of May, and obviously all the money goes into the academy, so get involved with that. Hearts tickets, the ballot is open now, and that is the second last game of the season. Could be a huge game for both clubs if we can. What depends what happens against Motherwell and Hibs, but that the ballot is open until 11 p.m. on Tuesday 28th. So if you want your tickets for the Hearts game, get in the ballot now, and you could be going to Tynecastle. And, you know, who knows, you might see Hearts win the league that night. It's like so up in the air. We're recording this at 12 o'clock on a Sunday. Everything's still to play for in the league, so it should be interesting. We're going to have a say in it, which is absolutely amazing as well. So, get involved for the Hearts ballot if you fancy it, heading along to Tynecastle. Right, we're going to do something a bit different now, Fraser. Let's have a look. The goal of the season nominations. Now, we'll speak about one that might have just missed out yesterday in a bit, but let's have a look at this year's goal of the season nominations.
This one. Oh, it's a tremendous strike by McKeever. McKeever picks it up, 25 yards out, right foot shot, top.
It's tipped for Adams. Gets a shot away. What a strike that is from Keelan Adams. Perfectly struck on his 50th appearance. Wonderful goal from Keelan Adams as Falkirk become the first team to score against Celtic this season.
Dylan Tate's goal, if you're listening to the audio version of this, by the way. No commentary with that one. Against Dundee United. What a strike. I should do the commentary for this one. This is Henry Cartwright's goal. Picks up in midfield, whacks it, pops in. See you later, Jack Butlin. 1-0. I mean, I should be doing Falkirk TV with this kind of commentary. Where was, there we go. Just in case you listen to the audio version, then what a goal, cracking on from Henry Cartwright. Connor Allen picks up in midfield. He runs at the defence. He goes by one man. He rolls it. He finishes it. It's one. It's a goal for Connor Allen. 2-1. Falkirk. What a goal that was, honestly. So there we go. That's Connor Allen's goal against Dundee. That's one of the nominations. If you're watching the video version, obviously this will come off more sense. Here we go, Finneas against St Mirren. Keeper's a nightmare, falls to Finn just inside St Mirren half, and he bangs one into the back of the net. Way, there we go. What a goal from Finneas. Josh, I'm coming for your job. Here we go, this is Barry Stewart against Hibs. Build up from the back, Scott Bain. Ball over the top, Dylan Tate finds Barney, lovely way off. Was it in? Ah, we don't care. Or was it out? Calvin Miller runs down the wing, squares it to Barney. What an exquisite finish from the big man. And that was the one. And we got it. So, Barney. What a game. Probably my favourite game this season. And Brad Spence in the Scottish Cup against Nesmuir. Finds one in, from about 25 yards. It was 1-0 up in extra time. Last goal of that. And here we go, Finneas against Rangers. Ball falls down, first time shot, top corner. Finneas up for four nominations for goals of the season. He only scored bang. If you are listening to this and not watching this, Roy Olivia Dean Sam Fender is the background music. So there you go, that was your goal of the season nominations. Fraser Bloy, out with of Kyle Wilson's yesterday, which you knew was going to happen as soon as we put the goal of the season nominations up. We were going to score an absolute belter, and Kyle did it yesterday. Right, so I'll have to say this right now, that's the Falkirk got nominations for goal of the season, right? Kyrell Wilson's will be the Falkirk, and Cody definitely is Falkirk Daft goal of the season. Out of the ones, because they've got to get it, obviously, for the recognition night, they've got to put the vote out. That's why it was put out last week. Who gets it for you?
Well, it's up between Connor Allen and Barney against Hibs. Connor Allen, because it was such a fantastic solo goal, and you would never expect that from the guy who was effectively the backup centre-back. That came in, you'd never expect him to do that.
Yeah.
So that was an individual, great individual goal. Barney's was an awesome team goal. I voted for Connor Allen, but I could have gone either way because they were both so good. There's a lot of good ones in there, but for me, those two were just all
the big question is, if Kyrell's from yesterday was included, would it be Connor Allen or would it be Kyrell?
I think I'd still go with Connor Allen, right. But it's definitely in the conversation because it was an absolute beauty. If we'd gone on and picked up something from the game, the goal had meant more.
Yeah,
I could be frustrated because it was a beauty.
Yeah, no, absolutely cracked up. But that will be included in the Falkirk Daft Goal of the Season competition. But you can vote on your Goal of the Season now. I do think I like the Barney Stewart goal against Hibs. Like you say, brilliant teamwork, just a really good team goal. But Conor Allen, that wee stud roll he does over the ball, and then just the finish is just, I remember at the time watching it going, shoot, why are you not shooting? Pass, pass, shoot. Ah, what a goal. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. And Conor Messi came into the lounge afterwards, and I just remember everyone just grabbing him, and he was just unbelievable that day. So well done, Connor. We'll see who wins goal of the season, but I've got a funny feeling it will be Connor Allen. Before we talk about the game and we get into Kyrie Wilson's absolute beezer of a goal, thanks very much to Behind the Wall. They are with us on board this podcast, sponsor every week, so we do appreciate that. All the guys there, stay local, eat and drink global, and remember, the Falkirk Daft Venom, the original Venom, is only available at Behind the Wall. Anyone else doing a Falkirk Venom, hang your head in shame, because you can only get the original at Behind the Wall. And they've got a few things coming up there. At Behind the Wall, actually, Tam Cowington there this afternoon. Echoes of the Bunny Men, which is presumably a tribute to Echo and the Bunny Men, but Echoes of the Bunny Men are in there on the 29th of May. Barbara Bryson, always very popular, daytime dancing with Babs, is there on Sunday the 7th of June. Obviously, we all know Barbara. She appeared on The Voice. There we go. And the Scotland World Cup launch party is happening there. If you want to get along, watch the games, get to Behind the Wall, you get £5 as a ticket, but you get your first pint. So effectively, get a free ticket, really. So there you go. So I get yourself along to all the Scotland games at Behind the Wall. It'll be showing all the World Cup games in there as well. And of course, it's Falkirk's best selection of fine wines, lagers, craft and cask ales. Check out everything that's going on in the pub at behindthewall.co.uk. Here, before we go on, I'm going to play a game with you, Fraser, because I mentioned Barbara Bryson, it just came into my head, right? Someone very famous has moved to Falkirk recently. World famous, I would say.
Susan Boyle.
Shit, I can't believe you pissed on my chips there.
Oh, sorry. You're setting up and I just ruined the moment.
Oh, did you know that?
I had somebody sent me a link to an article, like a newspaper article about that. She was at Larbert or something?
Yeah, she's living in Larbert now. The bold Susan Boyle. It was all the talk of I was in the commercial a couple of weeks ago and I meant to mention it on the podcast. I was chatting to a few people in the commercial. I saw that Susan Boyle kicking down Foundry alone. It all kind of felt like police because Chiro's, I don't know if you're a bit, Chiro's a lovely Italian up at Glenbervie Golf Course, very, very nice. Overlook the golf course, lovely. And there's pictures of Susan Boyle with the staff. And I'm like, that's very unusual. And the woman said, this is one of our favourite places. I thought, she came all the way from Blackburn to come to Chiro's, that's a bit of strange. But then it turns out she's living in Larbert now, so there you go. The bold Susan Boyle, now a resident of Falkirk. What could we get Susan? Maybe get her on the next Falkirk Daft Live to sing Amarillo.
Oh, yes.
What a shout that is, by the way. Here's your halftime entertainment. Susan Boyle singing Amarillo. Whoa, what a time. I want to make that happen.
Yeah. Future guest pundit as well, maybe.
Future guest pundit. We'll get her support in the Bairns now. She's part of the, you know, the locale. There you go. So if you see Susan Boyle kicking about the tune, you know, don't be surprised, because she's now a resident of these fair parts. So there we are. Susan Boyle doing Amarillo at Falkirk Daft Live. Let's make it happen. Let's talk football now, and not Susan Boyle. We'll look back at the Celtic game, Fraser. We'd heard during the week there was going to be injuries. We knew that Scott Bain apparently did his ankle against in the semi-final, but kept playing in the semi-final. Maybe explains why I didn't get him near as much of those penalties, but I think he's done his ankle, and I think a few people have seen him in a moon boot maybe as well. So but John McGlynn doesn't think it's as bad as it was going to be, so I think maybe a bit of time out. I meant Nicky Hogarth came in from the start. Hendo, which was going to be the biggest miss, and Philip Lisa, two of our best players from the season, ruled out yesterday as well, which gave me the total fear. Keelan Adams came in at right back, and Lewis Nielsen and Connor Allen, I was like, oh my God, we're going to get absolutely slaughtered here. At one point, I was contemplating, oh my God, should I put a bet on -3 to soften the blow, because I thought we were going to get absolutely slaughtered. But in fairness, I thought the defence was excellent yesterday. Apart from maybe Keelan.
By and large, they did really well. There were a couple of individual mistakes, but I mean, you're always going to get that when they press. like that. They kind of force those mistakes. But I think overall they did well. I had the fear as well, especially about Hendo, because at least Hendo's, I think he's our only left-footed centre-back, so he provides that kind of balance as well. But I didn't know how Alan and Nielsen get on. Did well.
I thought, you know, Nielsen's had his detractors, but I thought Nielsen was excellent yesterday. I really did think Nielsen and Alan were both excellent at together. And I you know, you can't blame them for either Nielsen or Alan for any of the goals. Really, it was. Keelan had a bit of a nightmare yesterday. Let's be honest with you. But overall, like, you go in with that fear after the second half against Rangers, after the game against Inverness, where we just look nowhere near it. We got done by the occasion. I thought we settled so well into that game yesterday, and I thought we knocked it about well. We were brave on the ball. And it was, like you say, Fraser, it was just a couple of individual mistakes and unforced errors that, you know, probably end up us getting beat 3-1.
Yeah, it was as a team, the structure worked really well. Like you say, we were brave going forward. We got ourselves into good positions.
Yeah,
It was just individual mistakes at the back that cost us. But it's a performance we can be proud of, certainly after last week. I didn't know how we were going to react. I had the fear, and I was just like, "What? This could be any score." But no, fair play then.
No, absolutely. We settled really well into the game, and like obviously that shot from Brad Spencer, I was like, "Oh Jesus Christ, what a take it was from him at the edge of the box!" Absolute top of goals of the season. That would have been goal of the season if it had went in. But a great save from Sinisalo, to be fair to him. And yeah, it was, you know, like in that first half was like, we were just doing well, doing really well, and then just a silly mistake from Keelan Adams. Just dilly-dallying. I love the word dilly-dallying. Just dilly-dallying on the ball. You watch it back, and it's like, pass now. And he doesn't. And then you cannot, and I'm sure John McGlynn was drumming at the players, when Dyson Maeda's buzzing about you, just get shot of the ball. And like, Nicky had obviously went, angled himself to go for the pass from Keelan, and then finds himself in no man's land because Maeda's nicks the ball. And I don't put any blame on Nicky for the goal, but Keelan Adams, come on, son. Just dilly-dallying on the ball when Maeda's about.
Yeah, it was a dictionary definition of dilly-dallying. Nicky was there for the pass. He, like you say, he angled himself, positioned himself to take the pass. Should have gone back to him. He must have seen Maeda in his peripheral vision. He must have seen him coming. So what he was doing, I don't know, but yeah, that cost us. It was a good finish, to be fair, but we were the creators of rolling downfall.
Absolutely.
That's a huge, and the second goal as well.
Oh yeah, I mean, again, if the second goal, three things in life that are certain: death, taxes, and Falkirk losing a goal in the last 5 minutes of the first half. Jesus Christ, when are we going to stop this? Like, it really is. Just like, you get into 1-0, get in at half-time 1-0, you give them something to think about in the second half, the crowd start getting anxious if you keep it going, but we keep doing it time and time again. It's the same against Rangers, you know, we had it against Kilmarnock. I think there's a stat-wise that we lose the most goals in that time, and it's like, I just don't know how you stop that. Is that a mentality thing? What is it? But I mean, again, just dilly-dallying, on the ball in midfield, Brogio this time gets robbed by Maeda, and Maeda feeds Tierney. And by the way, the finish from Tierney is outstanding. Like, Nicky doesn't stop that. I know people say it's near front post, but like, you don't stop that.
It's hit that hard, that high. Nicky had no time to react. But Brogio did have time to react, and he couldn't. We just maybe another case where we weren't quick enough to make the pass and be doing it to ourselves. It wasn't quite as blatant a mistake as Adams, but it wasn't good either.
Yeah, especially when you're getting caught in halfway. I mean, the thing is, though, right after kickoff, when Maeda scored his first one, we almost got caught out again with Dylan Tate. Dilly dallying. That's definitely this week's title of the podcast, right? Dilly dallying.
Yeah.
Like, he was dilly dallying on the ball, and Maeda almost doubles straight off from kickoff, but like, Brogio is, again, I think he needs to be benched. Like, I think I think the I had no idea how he lasted 120 minutes against Dunfermline. No idea at all. In fact, it wasn't 120 minutes. It was just over 100 minutes against Dunfermline. And like, I just think Wilson, I think, when he came on, we know Wilson's frailties in terms of like his, I guess his final ball is something that people question him about, but like the pace he offers and like he gave all sorts of trouble when he came on the park, and I do think it's time for Wilson to get a run out and Ben potentially be moved to the bench.
100%. Wilson needs to come in. He's got momentum now after yesterday. He did really well when he came on.
Yeah.
He's got momentum. He was a threat. That was one thing we've all kind of said is he's got the attributes of somebody who can go far. It's just that in the final third, the shots, the crossing, that final touch he was lacking. But he had it in abundance yesterday, whereas Brogio didn't really show that. One thing about Brogio, when we signed, I mean, correct me, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought the website article referred to him as he could play in the centre or he could play in the left, cutting in on his right. But we've consistently played him in right midfield. I'm kind of intrigued.
Again, if you are going to play him, I do think you play him in the 10. I really do think you play him in the 10. But again, I just think he could do with being dropped out of the team and then maybe going carry out. Finn, again, we've talked about Finn. Yesterday was probably a game for Finn Yeats just for the industry in midfield. But at home against Motherwell and Hibs, do you then move Kyrell into the right, move Brogio into the middle and Miller into, you know, retain it left midfield? Because, yeah, it depends how you've got to go. But I guess against Celtic, you know, you do keep Finn in that 10. But I think could do with a wee time and a wee spell on the bench, just Dylan Tate. I think he had a better second half, but I thought this first half, there was a couple of moments I was like, Dylan, what are you doing? Obviously won loads of fouls. Great. But he did take things, but I do think his eyes been a bit off the ball in the last wee while. I thought first half against Rangers was outstanding, but like the last two games, I do think I'd like to see Henry Cartwright maybe get a wee shout in there, or do you drop Finn Yeats back in there?
Trusted as he was, maybe last weekend because he only came on in the 89th minute. So does McGlynn trust him anymore? I do think Dylan needs a wee rest from the team. I guess the concern is like, are we bringing in players of a similar caliber or not?
But I mean, the one thing you always say about Dylan is he always tries the ball forward. Sometimes, yeah, a lot of the times, it doesn't come off for him. But he's, I think, in terms of, there was some stat that he's, in terms of midfielders, most forward passes it comes from Dylan Tate. And like most of the time, like I say, some of the times it comes off, some of the times it doesn't. And that's the frustrating part about it. But yeah, I'll be interested to see how we line up against Hibs next week. But I don't know. We'll wait and see. Performance-wise, we were really good yesterday. But like I say, going back to the goals, individual mistakes, and we end up going in 2-0 down. Again, we come out the second half, a couple of changes with obviously the aforementioned Kyrie Wilson coming on, and Finn Yeats going off, Ethan Ross coming on as well, who was a bit quiet. Barney Stewart again yesterday, there was not much to feed on from Barney's perspective. You know, he did what he did and had to do, he did well. He's probably not, you know, we was talking about him going with Scotland. He needs to be scoring in these games against the big teams to you know, against the Rangers, against the Celtic, I guess, if he's got any chance of getting on that plane. He did what he had to do. He couldn't quite get in about. The chances didn't come really for him, to be fair. But, you know, held up play, winning it in the air. Barney just did Barney things, you know.
Yeah, but there's only so much he can do. He's very much like a lone figure up front. It felt like he was quite isolated at points.
I thought we should have went. I actually thought we should have, you know, later in the game, we subbed Barney off and brought on Parkinson. I did think there was a shout to go 4-4-2 at that point, in terms of just giving them something more to think about up top. But, you know, we stick with the 4-3-3. But I do think Barney with Ben, potentially, see how they do together. I think that would be a really interesting combination. Or, you know, we've seen them in previous games against Aberdeen, for example, Brian Graham's come on and they played 4-2 with Barney and Brian.
Yeah, I think 4-2 up front seems to be a kind of coming back into fashion in football now. I think it would give Celtic something to think about, because they've got a back four and they've got one striker to worry about. It would have given them something different to think about. It might pose different challenges when we really need to be pushing it forward more.
But before that, though, of course, though, we had Kyrie Wilson's goal we've talked about already. What a goal. What a goal.
It was the ball through him, Leon. The touch, the first touch was excellent, but then the take, that was delicious.
The touch is unbelievable. It just falls right, and he just like that, just outside the boot on the half volley. Absolutely tremendous. Great ball from Leon as well, and I thought Leon was again excellent yesterday. There was that ball that went across just the face of the goal as well. You know, delivery wise, Leon's just great. And then he finds Kyrell with that ball from, you know, the switch of play. Outstanding from Leon again yesterday, and another assist for him this season. It's, you know, Kyrell, unbelievable. More of that, please, Kyrell. He's scored, you know, that's his third goal of the season now. Which is good, you know, like Aberdeen. Did he start against Livingston? He scored two goals coming off the bench, and then he started against Livingston, didn't he? When he got his goal there. So, just excellent. I do hope, and I do think, I don't know what his contract situation is with Kyrell, but I do think if he is out of contract at Swansea, there might be a chance we land him. But if he does things like that on telly, people will look at it and go, oh, maybe we can.
Swansea look at him for one, and other teams down south will look at him too. So we'd have a bit of competition. But I think he's worth a punt. You know, there's a good player in there. You know, there's a very good player in there if you can put the pieces together and have more end product than the final third like yesterday.
Yeah, no, definitely. I've heard like he's quite settled up here. I think he's got girlfriends up here with him as well. So listen, it'd be a good get, I think, for next season if Swansea are thinking, we'll release you, you know, and he is interested in coming to Falkirk, it'd be a good get, I think, because I do think he's got real potential, when he shows moments like that.
Yeah, get my house next to Subo.
Yeah, exactly. You could be Subo's neighbour, Kyrell, if you stay next season. Yeah, it was, you know, 2-1. Yeah, and you're thinking, right, come on, Falkirk. And that's why I say we could have went 4-4-2 at that point and just maybe put, you know, a bit of pressure, get the crowd turning, you know, because we were playing well. We knocked the ball around really, really well and taking brave passes. And, you know, I thought Miller was excellent yesterday as well. I thought Calvin Miller was really, really good. You know, we had that shot, obviously, which, you know, kind of on the volley, it just kind of went wide as well. And he was really good, you know, but I just think, again, just, you get the go 2-1, you just think, just keep it going. And again, I would say, it's an unavoidable goal for Maeda second as well, you know. Again, Keelan Adams, you've got a question. I think Maeda just takes a couple of steps away from him, and the ball falls to him, and he just... got, you know, Keelan tries to, you know, close him down, but he's just been smart striker play. He's just taking a couple of steps back, the ball's falling to him in the box. Again, could Connor or Nielsen have cut out that cross by just sliding and getting it? I don't know. But certainly Keelan has to look at himself there, and, you know, don't give Maeda space. You know, you've got to get tight on, you can't get too tight on him then because of his pace as well, but you've got to go and follow him and give yourself a chance of blocking the shot. And it was smart striker play, but again, I think we should react to it a bit better.
He was too slow to react, I think. By the time he started moving towards the ball, Maeda was like halfway there already. He just needed to be a bit quicker. Another avoidable goal. I mean, it wasn't quite handed to them on the silver platter like the first two goals were, but there were things we could have done to cut it out. And yeah, right back maybe is an issue. I don't know how long Liss is out for, but hopefully it's just
Yeah,
just a week.
I definitely think it's a, well, with, we're obviously going to lose Lissa next season as well. It's definitely a position that we need to look at as right back for next season. Because Keelan, the thing is about Keelan though, he's great at getting forward, but it's just his defensive frailties. And, you know, we saw against Rangers as well, there was a, you know, a lot of the goals are coming from that right hand, well, Keelan's side. And it's just like, we need someone a bit more defensively astute, I think. To shore up that. I don't know what the answer is to it, but yeah, I mean, Keelan Dunning had a great game yesterday. He'll know himself.
Phillip Lisser. Where's the answer? Phone Phillip Lisser.
Just sign Phillip Lisser.
Or sign him and clone him.
Yeah, 100% all up for a team of Phil Whistler's, absolutely. But yeah, hopefully he's back soon. I don't know quite what the injury extent is with Lissa and Henderson as well. Though in saying that, as I said, I thought Nielsen and Connor looked really comfortable yesterday. Again, Connor, you just got to look at that boy and how he reads the game. It's outstanding, absolutely outstanding. And I thought Nielsen had one of his best games in a Falkirk jersey. Yeah. I thought he was really, really good yesterday. Yeah. Finished the game as well, and I think it's kind of underpins, you know, we've got three corners at the end to really put the pressure on as well and maybe make it 3-2, but we're lacking that at set pieces yesterday. We're just lacking that physicality with Pendo and Lisa.
Yeah,
being out. So, you know, set pieces really didn't come to much yesterday, which is a bit unfortunate. But, you know, looking back at the game, it ends up 3-1. You know, John McGlynn was very much, and we'll hear his interview in a minute, very much, the second half was 1-1. We drew the second half, but it was just avoidable, you know, silly goals, silly mistakes to make. And, you know, it's another case of what could have been. I think we've had that against Celtic in the last game when we got beat 1-0 at the stadium. And then this game, you look at the performance-wise and go, well, you know, It was probably a 2-1 game, in all honesty. It was probably a 2-1 game, but then they get the third, and it's that's the most pointless statement. It was probably a 2-1 game, but they get the third, and it's 3-1. Brilliant! What analysis? Thank you. That's why you listen to this podcast, ladies and gentlemen, to get analysis such as that. But we'll see what. Let's hear what John had to say about it all.
John, probably the best we've played here in a long time. How disappointed are you not to take anything away from you?
Yeah, I thought we'd give it everything. I thought that we came here, we're very brave. It would have been easy on the back of losing a lot of goals second half to Rangers, and then last week, no coming up with the goods. It would have been easy just to maybe just be cautious and sit back and trying to deny things. But we've not done that all season. So we came here very brave. Asked the boys to be brave. And yes, you have to go pop it and they'll get round you at times, but not a lot, you know. 30 minutes. For 30 minutes, we've done really well. We're in the game. We're getting the good positions, hit the pitch. Maybe not just quite getting the final, you know, ball or attempted goal, but some really good moments. We're getting corner kicks. Unfortunately, we get caught in the ball, you know. And we know that Maeda's going to press. He's going to do that. He did it last week against St Mirren and he got a goal from it. So we know that. We shouldn't have get caught in the ball, you know. So we need to learn for that. Just before half time, again, unfortunately, we get caught in the ball and the break on us. And from that, two goals. Now, yes, Celtic would have had a bit more of the ball and they probably had some more attacks, but these are the ones that kind of hurt us. It's not like Nicky was making save after save. He hadn't made many saves, to be honest. And we defended well. We defended corner kicks. We just got caught in possession twice and they punished us. And we said that to the guys at half time. You know, we actually did really well. We were in the game. And second half, we come out of here. Second half, it's one each. And no more than we deserve. We deserve more. As you're asking the question, do we deserve more? Maybe, yeah, maybe. But I think I'm so proud of the players. It was very much for me about how they were going to respond to last week. It was about mentality. It was about digging in. And there's many a team, 2-0 down at half-time, on the back of what's happened to us, would have got beat 5 or 6. So I'm so proud that we can come out in the second half and give it everything that we've got. And as I say, second half is one each. Carriel, as you say, scored a good goal. We're very much in the game. Not an awful lot in it again. We've defended set plays well. And Big Connor's maybe a little bit unlucky. He gets a header from a set play and it goes by the post and there's a glancing header goes by. So I'm really, really, you know, you can never be pleased at losing. So I'm not pleased at losing, absolutely not. But the response to last week, that was what you looked for. As a manager, that's what I was looking for. And to come here and be brave, yes. So your question, yeah, I think it's probably as well as we've done. I think every time we play, we've got closer to them. The last time we weren't far away, and today I thought we were even closer. So, you know, disappointed, obviously, but I'm pleased with the way that the guys went about their job for each other, for the club, for the fans that came along today. A big thank you to the fans that came along, stayed right to the end there. You know, big thank you to them.
There you go, Fraser. It's a thanks to you and not to me because I was sat in the squat and gobble watching it on the TV.
Welcome, Don.
Yeah, there you go. It was about the response, wasn't it? Because I think we, like you said at the start, we all had our fears with the injuries, with what we'd seen in the previous couple of weeks, certainly second half against Rangers and that game against Dunfermline. So it was about response. I do think the players have got to take a lot of credit for how they responded. Like I say, a couple of unforced errors let the goals in, but we gave as good as we got against Celtic. You know, you look at the stat-wise, you pull up stats in the game, and it's like, you know, 55-45 in possession, 14 shots to 11, you know, touches inside the opposition box, 20-17. You know, it was that kind of game. So that's why I'm saying it's a 2-1 game, not a 3-1 game. But yeah, you've got to be proud, and John seems very proud of the players and how they reacted. Have to say, give Kyrell some flowers though, John. Jesus, it was a good goal. It was a fucking brilliant goal. Just call it how it is, John. It was a fucking brilliant goal. I wish people would be more honest about it. It was a very good goal, John. You've got to give him some flowers. Shout out to Nicky Hogarth. We didn't really mention Nicky either. I mean, we mentioned him, obviously, he was out of position for that first goal, but again, it was him offering an angle to Keelan. I thought he was excellent yesterday. His handling. There was that one where it kind of came over and he just palmed it over, which he probably should have caught, but he made a great save from the corner kick. Great save from Anthony Ralston. His kicking was good. I thought Nicky had a really, really good game as well yesterday. And, you know, it's just brilliant to have such a, you know, great backup goalkeeper like Nicky. You know, and who knows, he's going to be maybe to the end of the season or goalie to the end of the season, depending on Scott Bain's situation.
Doesn't make us nervous at all. I'm very happy to go with that. He never put a foot wrong. He did everything you could have that was asked of him.
Yeah, that would save for the save. I think it was from Ralston. He made a really, really good save from Ralston, tipped it around the post. It was very similar to the Casale save that made for Brad. But Nicky, shout out to Nicky because he's a lovely, lovely lad as well. Great. You like you say, you just feel really comfortable when Nicky's in goals as well because you know what he offers. And he's a big laddie as well. He can get down to stuff. You know, I don't think he had any chance with any of the goals. I don't think any of them were his fault, particularly that, you know, you could make questions position at first, but I wouldn't because he wasn't expecting Keelan to do what he did. So
you don't expect him to use like that, but nothing, that's nothing, no reflection on Nicky at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's hear what you guys said about the match. Paul kicks us off by saying, thought the overall performance was good. A couple of lapses led to the first two goals. Looked so much more threatening when Wilson came on. His goal was superb. Leon and Connor looked really steady at the back. We can hold our heads high up on this one. On to next week. Elsa! Hello, Elsa. Played much better today, but goals avoidable due to mistakes. What a peach from Kyrell, and surely he's in his starting position next week. We'd also like to see Ethan Ross starting and Calvin in the 10 role with Parkinson up front. Interesting, given Barney a rest as Elsa. I don't think you rest Barney. I think at home, especially, I don't think you rest Barney. Though, let's go 4-4 fucking 2, Pop Fraser, why not?
Like Bassett in the house.
Yeah. Dougie, happy birthday, Dougie. He gets in touch saying, if someone can tell the team that the game is still on between 30 and 45 minutes, it would be really good. Criminal how many goals we've conceded in that section of the game. Yep, I fully agree with that. Alan says, some strike but get fed up only scoring consolation screamers at Parkhead. Yeah, Keelan Adams early in the season, which was nominated for goal of the season as well. Jack says, really positive performance but poor goals to concede onwards and upwards. Sam says, great performance but defensive mistakes are always costly. We really need Hearts to beat Hibs and then the next two games are the biggest of the week campaign. Please can we continue to at least go over the season voting before the games, as someone always scores a screamer. This is very true. And finally, Craig says, was full of fear that it would be a case of turning up and getting our belly tickled after the blows of the last couple of weeks, but loads of positives to take against a Celtic team chasing the title. We are more than capable of winning our next two and keeping the European dream alive. Yeah, we are. And I think that's the one thing you take from that game, Fraser, is that, you know, if we go out and perform like that against Motherwell and against Hibs, we've got every chance. We've got good records against both sides this season, you know, and it's all in our hands. You know, I think it does depend. If Hearts beat Hibs today, I think if Hibs win today, it's an uphill
struggle. It's done. 8 points with 4 games to go would be too much. And I have a little bit of a fear about Hibs winning today, but then they're going to have the fear about Falkirk not turning up yesterday. They were excellent. So, I will see how that goes. But we're more than capable of winning those two games. And if you can play like that against the champions, then playing against other teams shouldn't give you any fear.
No, exactly. So let's see what happens against Motherwell at the weekend and we'll see where we go for that. We'll be back, obviously, with the preview episode on Thursday for that. Right, okay, Falkirk Daft rated. Fraser Blaw, you were at the game. What are you thinking?
It's probably between Leon and Kyrell for me. I know Kyrell was only a sub, but the impact he made when he came on, he was a threat down that side. He linked up well with Adams going forward. His passing was good. His goal was amazing. He just gave them something to think about in the wide positions that they hadn't had to deal with already. Kind of that or Leon, because Leon was just as he always is, Mr. Consistent, and he did well, marshalled everything well down his side and helping out going forward. I'd probably go just Kyrell.
Oh, right, okay. Well, I'm going to go against you. I'm going to say Leon because he played the full match. That'd be my reckoning.
That's fair, that. No arguments with that.
All right, okay. Six. That is Leon McCann's 7th Falkirk Daft Rated award of the season. He's won more than any other player this season. So definitely will be in contention for Falkirk Daft player of the season this season. Be interested to see how that goes. Fraser, if I have to ask you 4 nominations for player of the season, who would you give me?
4. Hendo, Leon, Calvin. Jeez. Oh, Philip
Lesser. I think that's the 4 that I would go for. We'll be asking, obviously, you to vote on that. Barney would have been maybe in a shout if he'd been with us the full season. But yeah, I think Leon, Liam, Phil, and Miller are probably the 4 that are going to get nominated this season. But we will put that vote up in the next couple of weeks. Any dafties from the... I don't like giving it to Falkirk players, but I thought Keelan Adams... yesterday was not great.
I would nominate Dyson Maeda.
He did
really well. I don't know, it's nothing to do with his performance or anything, but you see his celebration after the first
game. He did 6-7.
You're a grown man, Dyson, get a grip.
I'm 100%. Dyson Maeda, he scored 2 goals, but yeah, doing the 6-7 celebration is unforgivable. He obviously did it for his kids, but you know, come on, Dyson, come on.
Doesn't matter.
Get it in the bin. As a father of a 13-year-old who has a 6-7 T-shirt, I'd get that in the bin. So Dyson Maeda, I'll go with that because I don't like to nominate Falkirk players for that award. So brilliant. No Falkirk Daft versus Fraser because it's just us. But before we go, we've got to say thanks very much to Falkirk football fans and training. Remember, they're now Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30 on the community pitch. Get involved with the TH right now. You can get this. Fraser, you can get down and get a game here as well if you're looking for fitness in your life. You can do the late 20s to early 30s. That's clearly not you. There's an over 40s to 50s section there. There you go. You found your thing. That's the academy. And then you've got the legends, which is a slightly slower, more fun-based player. So get down, join the boys, help your mental health, make new pals, because if you're fed up of your pals that you've got, I'm fed up of Greg Hunter, who made me stay to 3 o'clock watching Bruce Springsteen videos last night, so I might go down here and gain new friends and find somebody else with a pub that I can drink in, because my liver really is not doing well today. But yes, get down, join the T8s every Wednesday, 8 to 9:30. Speak to the guys. The links are below, Doogie or Ian or Hamish White if you're a young'un. All the details are below and the link to their Facebook page as well. So you can get in touch with them, get along on a Wednesday to the community pitches. Right, that's it for Folk Daft. Fraser, thank you so much for joining me and helping me on talk about the Celtic game. Thoroughly enjoyed your company. I will see you. I'll be sitting next to you at the football come Saturday. So I will see you then. Are you going to have your child with you that day? So you won't be.
I'll be in my room then. So
no pub for you then.
Yeah, maybe just straight to the game.
Yeah. So see you there next Saturday. I'll be back with the preview podcast this Thursday. I've got a busy old week at work, but. We'll make it happen. I'll make it happen. We'll talk Motherwell. I'm going to speak to Stephen Rayside. We've had him on earlier in the season. Stephen's a very well-known Motherwell supporter. So I'll speak to Stephen. We'll get him on. We'll do the preview of Motherwell and see. We actually own Motherwell. If we could go 3-4. Well, unbeaten against Motherwell this season, but could be a good one. It's going to be a massive game. We'll wait and see what happens in that Hearts Hibs game today. And then we'll take it from there. But thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, you'll get us there. If you're listening and want to see goal of the season without my commentary over the top of it, check out the YouTube version. You'll see the goal of the season. And also you can get merch as well. Merch.folkatdaft.co.uk. Oh, do you want to do the line? I'll throw to you and you can do Ross's line, right? Okay, here we go. That's it for Folk Daft. Thanks very much for listening. And until next time, Fraser.
Big unexpected.
Yes!
We're Folk or Daft, we're Folk or Daft. Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Folk or Daft, we're Folk or Daft. You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Folk or Daft, we're Folk or Daft. For everyone who's kidding about being a folk or dear, we're Folk or Daft. Our folk are daft.